Everyone, welcome back. These next two episodes will be divided up to talk about my journey, so they will basically be story time. And I would like to share with you on things I experienced, how this opened up with me, and where it really all began. So I used to give a talk every month at my shop in downtown Charleston, South Carolina. People would come from all over to hear it. I enjoy talking, as you will witness throughout listening to me. Well, let's go back to the basics. So for me, it all started when I was little, and I was raised Roman Catholic. So I was going to church for the first time. I was around, I think, 5 years old, and it was a big deal to go to church for the first time. So I remember having my little white patent leather shoes on, and my mom doing my hair, my pretty dress. And we went to church, and as I was sitting there, Father Patak was speaking. And as he was speaking, I could see, literally, spirits of angels around him. And I stood up on the pew and I said to my mom, I said, "Mom, look at the angels, look at the angels." And I guess she couldn't really get me to calm down because I was very excited and I didn't, you know, I was little, I didn't know what was going on. When we got home, my mom, I couldn't understand why she didn't take me back to church for a while. And that was kind of my first experience being that little of understanding. You know, maybe I was seeing things, and I guess when you're that little, you don't understand too well. So as I grew up, I did see other spirits at the end of my bed, and my mother at the time was telling me, "No, you're not seeing anything." She was keeping me, as I know now, away from it. My cousin died, and I remember her standing after she died. I woke up in the middle of the night, and she was standing at my doorway. And it scared me, and I went into the closet and hid. And I told my mom in the morning, and she was like, "No, that was me just checking up on you in the middle of the night." So I kind of grew up with it not being something that was, expressed, or this was happening to me. So as I got older and I went to college, I did see spirits at night, and it would really scare me. When I was in college, I looked up night terrors, dream disorders. I would never admit that there were ghosts at the end of my bed. One example of a ghost story is there was an old man that would appear at the end of my bed, and I could see him so clearly. He had a white shirt on and plaid pants, and I would run into my roommate's room just scared, saying, "Do you see him? Do you see him?" She's like, "There's nobody there, Hope." And she's like, "Just lay with me, but don't tell anybody." And, you know, I just ignored it. I went home probably, you know, that weekend or the next weekend. I went home and I was looking through an old photo album and I saw the man in a photo album. And I asked my mom who it was, and she said that was my grandfather, who I never met. And in the photo, he had the white shirt on with the plaid pants. And that's when I realized, wait a minute, that means something. But I still denied it and I still ignored it. So I got married, I went through college, met my husband through college, and when we got married, it just was a run-on joke that he would say, "Oh, you woke up talking to your ghostly buddies," and we'd laugh it off. So again, I tried to avoid it at all costs, you know, with the night terrors or dream disorders, went to a sleeping clinic. I didn't want to admit this was happening to me. So I just, you know, for a long time, you know, got married, had children, kind of, I guess you could say, stayed at bay. And then when I was around 35 years old, it actually slammed me. I had an old psychic lady tell me one time that they called it barnstorming, and it just couldn't stop it. So what I mean by that is, yes, the ghosts were visiting me at night. I have tons of stories to share with that. I'll give you another example. We moved to North Carolina, and in the middle of the night, I woke up, and there was a man standing in the hallway. As I kind of like woke up, rubbed my eyes, I could see him stand there. I started screaming, and my husband went running around the apartment because I was telling him, "There's a man in the apartment. There's a man in the apartment." And he ran around the apartment, checked the windows, checked the doors. He's like, "Babe, there's nobody there. Like, I'm telling you, I saw him. He was so clear. I could describe him. I could sketch him. He was about 32 years old, dark hair, had a stripe down his pants, The pants were flooded. If some of you don't know what that means, they were just short. And so it was that clear. And then I went back to sleep. And, he kept appearing each night, and I knew he had to be a ghost. And again, I was just ignoring it. Like, there was nothing I could do about it. I didn't know how to control it. I didn't know who to call. I always tell people there's not a 1-800-GHOST number to call when this stuff happens to you. So it kind of just became a part of my life at the time. And then there was another instance where I woke up, and it kind of woke me up out of a dead sleep. And there was a woman. I looked down the hallway, and I could see a woman floating at me. And she had wavy, curly hair, and she was just floating. So I closed the bedroom door that night. And then the next night, I got woken up again. Well, this time she came floating through the door in my face. Like, she was nose to nose with me. And that scared me so bad. So after that occurrence, I started drinking coffee all night, or I went and let my husband go to sleep until I fell asleep. And I'd cry a lot. And I just didn't, again, know what to do with it. Well, we finally moved into our dream home. While we were there, I started having different experiences. And while I was having those experiences, it was more like my eyes would dilate. I'd feel loopy. I'm not one to do drugs, never have, but I just felt spaced out, and I just knew things. I can't explain that. It's a little hard to explain, but it was kind of taking me over. And I, again, ignored it as much as possible, being a super mom and a super wife and having kids. And I just ignored it as much as I could. Now, the spirits weren't coming as much at night like they did in the apartment, but then the loopiness is what I call it started. So I had a friend come visit, and she came to stay, and I was, I was crying a lot. So there's a lot of drama in my story. And I know I'm making it out to be a little lighter than what it was, but it was really scary. It scared me night and day, and I cried on the bathroom floor, and I just didn't want it. I didn't know what to do with it. So she came to visit, and while she was visiting, we were sitting in my living room. No alcohol was involved. No drugs were involved. And while we were sitting there, the woman with the curvy hair, or the bouncy hair, and that was floating in my apartment appeared next to her. And I guess, my eyes got wide. My friend was like, "What is it? What do you see? I know you see something." And I didn't want to admit it. I'm like, no. She's like, "Oh, just tell me." And so I started to describe the spirit to her, and she said, "Well, it sounds like my aunt." And I had never met her aunt. I'm like, I don't know. And she's yelling at me, "Well, what is she saying? What is she saying?" And I basically was like, "I don't know. I can't hear them. I could never hear them. And they just appeared to me." And while I was saying that, she started crying. And then all of a sudden, my whole living room filled up with ghosts. And I was kind of cupping my hands over my eyes just to see the female spirit next to her. And she's, again, screaming at me, "What is she saying?" And now I'm like with a living room full of just spirits that I have no idea who they are, why they're there, freaked out. And I started, crying. And I'm like, I don't know. Well, I don't know if something triggered in me. But as soon as I did that, I was kind of getting words in my head, and I was like, wait, I think this is the spirit. Well, it was more like it, I guess you could say, charades, because I was still seeing the spirit. The spirit's moving around. Well, then the spirit started dancing, and I just started mimicking the spirit of these dance moves. And then my friend was like, "Oh my gosh, Hope, my aunt, she owned a dance studio." And I was like, okay, this makes it even more real. And then the communication came in. And then, like I said, it was just little bits of words that she proved that it was her. I can't give it to you and tell you what they were because it's confidential. But that's when I realized, like, whoa, I couldn't make this up if I tried. So in that moment, something else happened. And then all of a sudden, the other spirits in the living room just kind of looked at me. And there was probably maybe 10 to 20 of them. And they didn't turn their backs to me. They just kind of kept staring at me and then floated away. And then she disappeared. And I came out of it. I guess you could say came out of it, and I was like, what just happened? So after that moment, they stopped visiting me at night, and it just, there's a lot more stories that I will eventually give you some more ghost stories and things like that that I'll share with you, but I want to keep going on my journey because I'm going to have to leave a lot out. So there's a lot more things that happened to me while I was at home. Like I said, when I told you about the dilation in my eyes and feeling loopy, I started calling a couple of my friends and just saying, look it, I think that I know things, and they would write questions down for me. So when I would call them and say, I'm on, go, they would give me these questions and I would just answer them, yes or no. So they were kind of yes or no questions. Two of my friends played this game, I call it. And I would call them, say, go. And they would ask me, like, questions like, did my friend Bob buy his boat yesterday? So things I would be unaware of. And I'd just be like, yes, no. And at first, I wasn't really right. But then as, you know, I would keep playing this game for months, I was getting right. And then I felt like faster, ask me faster. And it just is a way of, like, now to this day, I know why that happened. And I'll explain that to you later. And I went with that. So it was like kind of just figuring it out. I started really getting in tune with, like I said, figuring things out as this was happening to me. Then one day I went to the library, got all these books out about psychics and afterlife and talking to spirits and mediums and all these mediumship books. And I probably checked out about 10 books and came home, hid in the bathroom, and was sitting on the bathroom floor, and I was trying to read the book. And as I guess you could say, why did I hide in the bathroom? You know, I was hiding from myself with this stuff. It was my safe zone. I used to cry on the bathroom floor because the tile was so cool. And anyway, so as I was reading the book, I couldn't really grasp the words and what the book was saying. And I did graduate with honors in college, and it was like, why can't I understand these words? And then that's when all of a sudden I did hear a voice in my head say, put it down. And it was a male's voice, loud. And that scared me really bad, because when you start hearing voices in your head, that is not okay. So I knew that growing up with church and everything. So it really scared me that now I'm mental. So as I was reading the book, trying to ignore that voice, the voice said it again louder. So by the third time, I just took the book, opened the bathroom door, and threw it out into the bedroom. From that time, I never picked up another book again, and I'll explain that, but I was just afraid to pick it up. So that's when I guess you could say I started having voices in my head. That was the very first moment. So talking to spirits, voice in my head, all that was happening, the knowingness. So a lot more, like I said, I'm going to jump a little bit because there's a lot more detailed in my home living. But bottom line is I was starting to get messages, I call them, writing them down, just putting them down on paper, trying to ignore some things. I had to learn about some negative stuff. I will give you some of those ghost stories later. And very creepy stuff, positive things, negative things. Like I said, there's a lot that I could go on and on about. So I'm going to kind of jump. Well, the next thing was I was getting messages about leaving home and having to go to India for my hands. I didn't understand that. And I've never even been out of the country. I mean, the furthest I've been on vacation was Florida. So when I got India in my head, I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. But, you know, like it just kept getting stronger and stronger to the point where I was being guided, I call it, and listening to these voices. So a little bit fast forward, I was guided to leave home, and I wouldn't do it. I wasn't about to give up my Starbucks lifestyle, my beautiful husband, my two beautiful kids. There was nothing wrong with my life, and it was just something I wasn't willing to walk away from, and I didn't want to. So as it got stronger and stronger, I did go to this place that was a spiritual community. Before I get into that, I want to give you a little background of why it means so much to me with the spirits. I had lost my dad when I was 26 years old, and I wasn't really into all this, but when he died, he was my best friend. Like, I just loved my dad. And when he passed away, I was 2 minutes late to the hospital, so I didn't get to say goodbye to him, and it devastated me. And for about 5 years after that, I looked for someone like me. I went all over the place to find a medium so I could say goodbye to him. So it was really devastating for me. It was a really hard time, and I know that heart-wrenching trauma that we go through. So I know how it impacted me. So again, fast forward. So I decided to go to the spiritual community. I got a flyer in the mail, and it was seemed legit. So as I was driving there, I was in the car, and my father appeared. And that was the first time I had seen him since this started really opening. And he was sitting there, and I was crying so hard I had to pull over, and I was just staring at him, and I could feel him. I could smell him. I could feel him. It was just like, is this really, really happening? And he said to me, look at the street that you're going to. And when I looked at the street of, you know, where the final place was for the community, it was on Ray Street, and that was my dad's name. And then he told me, look at the date. And when I looked at the date on the clock in my car, I realized it was his birthday. And then he just looked at me and said, everything's going to be okay, and smiled at me. And he used to say that to me growing up, and I knew everything would be. So I was pretty hysterical. I had to sit there for a long bit and just get, you know, like my bearings together. And then he disappeared. And when I got to the center, you know, it was kind of like, it's hard to explain in words, but I felt shy. I felt like there was something wrong with me. I didn't want to be around people. I wanted to hide from it. But when I got there, a woman approached me and said hi, and she said her name, and she said, you know, you have a spirit with you right now. And I'm like, yeah. And she said, I said, can you see him? And she said, no, but I can sense him. I was like, whoa, okay. And I said, well, today's his birthday. And she looked to the left of me where I literally saw my dad, because he appeared back. And she said, happy birthday. And I thought, well, okay, I'm not the only weird one out there. This is cool. So I sat there for a little bit, and then I sat in the back. And I, again, the man that came on stage, you know, he was pretty laid back, and he was kind of talking about stuff that I could relate to with guidance and intuition and things like that. So I felt a little bit comforted, but again, I was still scared. And I know this sounds weird, but I was crying the whole time. I mean, I was afraid of it. So I ended up leaving. As I was getting ready to get up, this woman just out of nowhere, she dropped a Kleenex in my lap and a piece of paper. And then I just got up and left. And I looked at the piece of paper, and it was her phone number and everything. So that's, again, part of the journey. And when guidance made me leave home, you know, I had gone to visit her. I called her one day, and she never said anything that she hears guidance or anything. But, you know, I got home one day, and the voice in my head said, you have to go. And again, I'm leaving out a lot. That'll be for another day. But as I was getting into the house, I opened the door, and my whole entire house felt like a sauna. And I couldn't breathe. And literally, I couldn't inhale. It was just so thick in there. And I was literally crawling up the stairs. And the voice was saying, just a tub of clothes. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was doing. So I just was mad. I was throwing some clothes in a tub. And I tried to get a pillow and the voice said no. And I tried to take a picture of my kids and the voice said no. It was a very frustrating, dramatic time. And I know most people are like, well, you had free will. I call this a time in my life where I felt like I was on spiritual autopilot. Some people even said, oh, do you think you're possessed? And yeah, we can get into all that, but I'm not, because it wasn't negative. By this time, it was all from the light and positive. I'd been seeing angels and they were working with me. So basically, I called the woman from the center that gave me her number and she goes, you know, I said, I need to leave. And she said, I know, sweetie, you need to come here. They told me you were coming. I'm like, who's they? And what do you mean, they said? She's like, I have the room ready. So that was the first encounter for me to actually have to leave home. And I called my husband. And again, that's a long story I'm going to give you for another day. But he was very... he was very good about all of this because he knew I had ghostly buddies at night. He knew something was happening to me. We had already been together for 13 years. He knew I wasn't crazy. And we had talked a lot about going into a mental hospital. And he's like, I'm not doing that to you. And he just knew. He was a big supporter of this. And I know it was hard for him too. So I'm really grateful for that. And again, I'll share some more detailed stories later of what I went through in my home life. But this was the first time that they made me leave home. And she did. And I went and I cried and she had the room ready. And that's right there is when, you know, I kind of felt in shock and I didn't know what was happening to me. And when I was staying with her, I had a vision. So that night I was laying, you know, on the little twin bed and crying and just didn't want it. And I had a vision of this man, and he was an older man and he had a beard and white hair, very detailed. And then I realized that I was sitting in a chair in front of him in the vision. And then I was circled by these old men and he looked at me and he said, you know, I'm right, you can see me, I'm right here. Well, in the vision, I was kind of falling off the chair and I could feel my body falling and I was pulling myself back up. And he would say to me, come on, Hope, back to us, up, 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 up. And I'd pull myself straight up again, then I'd fall some more. And this felt like it lasted for like 3 hours. It was crazy. And so as I was falling and then finally I kind of felt secure in the chair. And then he looked at me and said, we are going to guide you. We are your elders. And we will tell you where to go. And we will help train you and help understand your abilities. So that was my encounter for the first time with these spirits in my mind to really talk to me and say, you know, you can believe in us and you're going to have to go through a long journey to understand your abilities, and so you can help many people. So that's pretty much all I'm going to give you for today, and that's the first leg of my journey of having to leave home. And I have, you know, a lot of ghost stories that I'll be sharing along the way, but there's a long, it's hard. The journey was about, I'm going to be honest with you and tell you, it's when I started giving my talk, it was probably, oh, at that time, it started for me, and they made me leave home in 2006, and I opened up my shop in 2013. So from 6 to 13, there's a whole bunch that goes into this, which, in, you know, when I give my talk, it's about an hour, hour and a half. So I'm just condensing a lot of information into story time. So I will post the next one, and that will be the next half of just my journey, and then, like I said, coming forward, I will be teaching some things that I learned. I'll maybe hopefully help some people. And then what else I'm going to incorporate is I will, if you go on to the website for Psychic Crossroads, my email's on there. And I will start taking on people asking questions, or if you have, like, you're more curious about how do spirits look or how can you feel them. And then I'm going to include that in my future podcast. So again, you can look up my website for the Psychic Crossroads, and we'll share more on that note. So if you want to email me, it's on there, and it's actually psychiccrossroadswithhope@gmail.com. All right, I look forward to the next part of this, and have a great day. Bye.